This episode of the Road Dirt Podcast is brought to you by Chuck Watwood and the good folks at Lawbike. You can find them at lawbike.com. Welcome to Road Dirt, the podcast of RoadDirt.tv and Road Dirt Motorcycle Media, your down-home grassroots motorcycle brand covering what we like to call ride life. This is Rob Brooks, your host. Thanks for tuning in. It's been a little over a month. We've taken a sabbatical from the podcast, but wanted to start introducing and sharing some fresh content with you. This is a story written over the summer by one of our beloved writers, Ted Edwards, up in the Pacific Northwest. A story that he penned that he personally asked that this become a podcast episode. And it really is written with the imagery that makes it a great story to tell. So it's called The Old Bike and the Sea, the lure and allure of riding motorcycles along the Pacific coast. Give me the Pacific Ocean. You can have the rest of the country, just hand me her blue waters. Take Beartooth Pass, the Tail of the Dragon, Going to the Sun Road, and Million Dollar Highway. I've done them all. Just leave me the Pacific, a road that runs alongside her and an old motorcycle beneath me. Sailors know the Pacific's pull. Her captivating blue rollers have a way of getting under your skin like a seaman recruit's poorly chosen tattoo. Ride her shore once and you'll understand. Years of pleading eventually convinced my cousin Dave Wensveen to join me in heeding the Pacific's call, making the annual July pilgrimage down the coast from our Washington home to Monterey, California. When he was throwing fastballs back in high school, he dreamed of riding along the West Coast, and it was my honor to be alongside him as he fulfilled that dream. Over three decades, 30 years, that's a long wait to check that box, and while the ocean will always be there, always has been, always will be, we, however, may not. Riding Highway 101 along the Pacific Ocean doesn't impress until Oregon, so we started at Tillamook, Oregon, and headed south, tent camping along the way and taking our time. Matched by the ageless Pacific Ocean, we rode motorbikes just as ancient, at least by modern standards. Our fifth generation Honda VFR 800s are relics from a previous century with no ABS, no traction control, no ride-by-wire, no engine mapping. Our keys have no chips, our phones can't talk to our bikes, and our gauges are big analog circles with sweeping red dials. If you want traction control on this bike, you train your right wrist. Better braking? Modulate with your fingers. A different engine map? Pick a different gear. A quarter century old is antediluvian compared to the modern technical match of modern bikes, but in a blink of time compared to the ancient Pacific. My VFR has enough miles for nearly five laps around the equator. The Pacific Ocean doesn't care. As we trace Highway 101 south from Tillamook, the road doesn't join the shoreline until Lincoln City, but when it does, life changes. It's overwhelming. Some sceneries like the Colorado Rockies impress with their majesty. The Bonneville Salt Flats impress with their emptiness. The Pacific Ocean just puts you in your place. You're a speck, a dot, a tiny sand flea just one tsunami away from being reminded that the Pacific Ocean is in charge of both life and death. Like a motorcycle can give life and claim it, so can the Pacific Ocean. It teems with life on its shores, both human and aquatic, but they only exist because the ocean permits it. At any time, her waters could take life with no sympathy and no warning. Like a high side out of nowhere, we're just one huge wave from being reminded that being in charge of our lives is an illusion. Whether on the bike or in the water, we don't control as much of our lives as we think we do. At the end of the day, Dave and I tent camp along the shore north of Bandon Dunes, Oregon, where we see kite surfers use the persistent winds and the small inlet to their advantage. Like herds of seagulls, they are one with the wind and the water, using crests of waves to go airborne, tethered to their kites, hanging there it seems like forever, then landing only because they want to do it all over again. It's quite mesmerizing and romantic. Both the motorcycle and the Pacific seem to be built for hopeless romantics like me. As Dave and I stand side by side staring at the kite surfer, cigar in one hand and screwdriver in the other, the cocktail kind, not the tool, by the way, the burning Pacific sunset as a backdrop to the flying circus before us, I can't help but philosophize, to consider my life, reflect on my choices, good and bad, to put my tiny blip of a life in comparison to the vast expanse and timeless expanse of blue in front of me, her sunset sky set ablaze. How can I be so lucky to be with my friend in this golden moment, right here, right now? What did I do to deserve this? Why am I here? Is my life pointed in the right direction? What legacy am I leaving? Why so much undrinkable water? Who drank all the vodka? Was that you, Dave? Oh, right, it was me. Then, like some before me, the Pacific instructs me to write. Sipping my drink, pulling at my cigar, Dave at my side, the sunset before me, I start to write, not with paper and pen, but first in my mind, writing about our old bikes and our trip along the water. I can't not write. The Pacific Ocean will do that to you. Some question why I write, but if they stood by me right here, right now, they would know the answer. The ocean fills me up to overflowing, so much so that writing becomes my vent, my pop-off valve, so to speak, my way of getting the beauty out of my soul and into it at the same time. In vain, I try to put it into words, but how can simple nouns and verbs put the Pacific Ocean in the mind of some who have never stood on her shores? I can't, yet I try. I may never write like Ernest Hemingway or Peter Egan, but as my daughter has reminded me, I write like Ted Edwards, and that just might be good enough. Kids are so smart nowadays. In the morning, everything is covered with chilled, foggy mist. Our tents, bikes, clothes, and the empty bottle of vodka lying horizontal on the picnic table, a dead soldier to last night's festivities. Even in July, mornings near the beach are cold, damp, and thick. We use all of our devices to combat the chill, firing up our heated grips, our heated jackets, and closing every vent on our climb latitude touring gear. Out on the road again, Highway 101 glistens with morning dew and is littered with freshly fallen pebbles, rocks, and clogged by plodding Winnebagos with fluffy yipping dogs in the rear windows. Served alongside our morning coffee are doses of patience and focus. We remind each other that here in this moment, right now, we are the lucky ones. So we slow down and savor each mile along the Pacific Ocean like a final meal. Every inch of tarmac next to the crashing waves is a treat. Contrary to our hooligan hardwiring, we actually take our time. Both the ocean and our aged VFRs defy time. While the world changes around them and the ocean and the VFR age gracefully, locked in the past, holding on to ancient ways. While the Pacific Ocean may be millions of years old, the VFR may just as well be, having debuted in the late 90s, about the same time that Soundgarden disbanded. Technology has made giant leaps since then, and our bikes are outdated, even classics, much like the old Black Hole Sun. Yet, like the ocean and 90s Seattle grunge music, some things are timeless. No one ever tires of gear-driven cams, an off-cadence exhaust note, a single-sided swing arm, or sweeping tachometer needles. No one ever tires of crashing waves, blue waters, or magical sunsets outside their tent. And yes, some of us never tire of that old 90s grunge music. By mid-morning, the sun has burned off the foggy marine layer, revealing ridiculously blue skies. Dave and I take a break, find a pullout on a grassy cliff and ditch the heated jackets for t-shirts. Staring into the ocean, we notice where sky and ocean meet. They're about the same color, blending together, blurring the line between liquid and atmosphere. The surreal sight etches itself in our memories. In future days, if life chokes out our joy, we will close our eyes, and this is what we will see. I could never live far from this. I fear being landlocked. As much as Western Montana speaks to me, It's just too far from the Pacific Ocean. Wyoming? Beautiful, but farther still. Colorado? The Rockies are truly God's country, but headed in the wrong direction. The state of Georgia in the fall? I love it, but it's next to the wrong ocean. Midwesterners, I feel sorry for you. Get out of there. Having the ocean next to me and the VFR in my garage is my escape clause for life. When the ugly tentacles of anxiety wrap around me to pull me down into the pit of despair, I run to my bike and I ride to the ocean. Here, things are put in proper perspective as giant, empty waters swallow my worries whole, drowning them in the blue. There's plenty of blue. The Pacific Ocean covering about one-third of the Earth's surface. If you could fit every landmass on the planet together like a giant jigsaw puzzle, it would all fit in the Pacific Ocean. It's so deep, about 13,000 feet on average, that you could take my nearby Mount Rainier, flip it upside down, and it would sink to the base. Big enough to swallow your meaningless problems? My worries are trivial compared to the Pacific Ocean's expanse. Life not turning out the way I planned? I'm letting my worries disappear into the waters. Deadlines to make? I'll get to that whenever. Don't bother me now, I'm watching waves. Well, south we rode in until Oregon became California and Highway 101 completely abandons any attempt at following the coastline. California's northern shore is simply too rugged for a road or anything else, earning the nickname the Lost Coast. Just inland, we ride through the redwoods, wider than the cars driving by them and tall enough to block GPS signals, cell phone reception, and anything but small slivers of daylight. When we pull over to look at them, we instinctively whisper. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's so quiet, we didn't want to disturb the moment. Maybe it was out of reverence for these ancient redwoods. Maybe the beauty just took our breath away. Further south, Highway 101 tag teams with California Highway 1, the Pacific Coast Highway. The legendary PCH starts with a left cross to your jaw at Leggett with 30 miles of the most banked, twisted, and narrow tree-lined pavement you will ever ride. Snaking narrowly through dense forest and first gear corners, you fear any car coming the other direction larger than a Prius. Trucks terrify you. Winnebagos are a death sentence. Log truck? Say your prayers. Nevertheless, I do this section of the PCH over the tail of the dragon because, like the brilliant finale of Shawshank Redemption, PCH ends at the Pacific Ocean. And when I say it ends at the Pacific, I mean, if you don't turn left at the end, you'll be using your seat cushion as a flotation device. As we find a pullout to take a break, we could spit our gum out and it would land in the waves 100 feet below. Diligence is required when riding here lest we fly off the roadside cliffs as some have done before. Off of our bikes, Dave and I stare across the distant blue for the millionth time and we ponder how much better the ocean is made by riding a motorcycle. There's just no better tool for exploration. Cars are masterfully engineered to insulate you from your environment. Wrong goal. We could ride a bicycle, but then there's that whole going slow, pedaling, and sweating thing. The motorcycle is perfect. While we ride, sea spray is forced up our nostrils, warm sun dries our damp clothes, and a tickling ocean breeze chills our faces. Blinding sun reflects off of our dashboards, it dries our gauges and reveals their ancient sweeping red needles. Motorcycles were made for the ocean, and the ocean for motorcycles, it would seem. Eventually, we reached our destination in Monterey, California, but we kept going south to Big Sur because, and beyond, really, because we just couldn't help ourselves. If life allowed, we would just do this forever, spending every morning coated by the mist, every sunny day cooled by the sea breeze, riding every coastal road and their banked curves like surfers taking turns on the waves, and every evening a cigar or a screwdriver, again not the tool, and this spectacular sunset. And therein lies the danger. Just as the motorcycle can claim your life, so can the Pacific. Not by death, but also by addiction to her presence. Once she is in your blood, you will do anything to ride her shores. Do what it takes to get back to her waters and dream of her constantly like a lover lost long ago but never forgotten. So you can have the rest of the country. Just leave me the Pacific Ocean, because there's nothing like riding an old bike next to the sea. Ted Edwards. Well, I think that's a great launch back into our podcast here. Thank you, Ted, for sharing that great story of your ride along the Pacific. Makes me want to grab a bike, take a flight, get over there, and ride the Pacific with you. Maybe we can do that in the coming year. Well, I hope you'll check us out on our website, our main e-magazine, roaddirt.tv. There's that story with a bunch of the photos he took when he and Dave were on that ride, as well as all the other bike reviews and events, races, all the things like that that we cover. Check us out at roaddirt.tv. Check out our YouTube channel as well. It is Road Dirt TV. We're constantly putting up new content, bike reviews and events and things like that, interviews with people. Check us out at Road Dirt TV, the YouTube channel. We've got three social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and all of them are Road Dirt TV, or the mention symbol, at Road Dirt TV. You can find those there. We've got a Spotify music playlist, about 25 hours worth of music that we love being out on the open road with, and we think you will as well. Good road riding music. Well, until next time, this is Rob with Road Dirt. We hope you ride life.